Welcome back to Filter. I believe on the line I have with me Kate Dean, the one and only. Are you there, Kate?
Hi, Paul.
Hey, thanks for agreeing to come on the show for like the third time. You still like me. You still like the show.
Oh, I'm honored. Although that song was really anxiety producing, and I wondered if you're trying to give people the worst possible association with hearing from their elected officials.
No, I swear, I swear that was not my intention. Next time, I'll give you a much smoother song. If anything, if I was listening to the radio and I heard that song, and then I heard Kate Dean come on, I'd be like, "Wow, she is down with the clown." Whatever that means. Maybe you don't want to actually be associated with ICP. I think that means you like ICP.
Yeah. Let's not go there.
Okay. We won't go there. Kate Dean has never been affiliated with nor listened to the music of ICP. I have, but I have my own opinions about it. But this show isn't about that, and we don't want Kate to hang up on me just yet. Just kidding. We don't want you to hang up on me ever. First, we want to congratulate you for having a high school basketball student.
Thank you.
I just saw that, and it was pretty exciting to see some hoops being shot.
Yeah, to see kids getting back to some normal, healthy activities.
I can't believe it. It felt like we would never get back to that point, and yet, you know, we're going to talk about karaoke in the second half of this show. We're trying to get back to normal with the doing things the new prescribed way. But it feels good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I don't know if you read that article in the Atlantic about people who are having such a hard time, even, you know, and it's really about progressives having a hard time getting back to normal. And, you know, I think we're really struggling with it in this town, how to do it safely, how to not be too judgy. Right. There's been a lot of that going on, and just hope we can get some space to reconnect and take some deep breaths and enjoy a summer ahead.
Yeah, the thing about not being judgy, God, that's been like one of the struggles for me throughout this, is saying I'm going to do my part and I'm not going to make other people feel bad about decisions that I can't control the decisions they're making, right? But there's a part of me that wants to. The troll part of me wants to just be like, hey, look at this, look what you're not doing, you know, that's endangering people. Take that. And working with myself to not be that person, to only be the troll on the internet and not in real life, has been a really important part of my growth in this last year.
Yeah, well, good for you. I hope a lot of people have grown, because I think a lot of people have not.
Yes. A lot of people have shrunk into their bubbles or into their own belief systems, but we don't need to talk about those people or those shrinkage. What I want to talk about, at least first off, is just kind of get county politics update from you, but mostly I'm interested because, and it's our consistent topic, is what's happening with the Hadlock sewer. It sounds like this last 2 months have had some major developments on that front. So can you give us a rundown of what's going on and what we can expect from the future, hopefully?
Sure, yeah. So it's hard to cap it at a couple of months because the history goes back so far on this project, right? You know, 20 years ago, we identified Port Hadlock as the urban growth area. We're required to determine the place where growth and density would go in the county. And Port Hadlock was chosen. And so a lot of public process, a lot of work went into that designation, a lot of legal challenges. And so 10 or 15 years ago, when all that was decided, then the plans for a sewer were created, and it was never universally agreed upon and loved, but you have urban growth area with density until you have a sewer, until you have that level of urban service. So it's interesting that a lot of that process played out and then was kind of put on hold waiting for funding. And in the 10 or 15 years since then, funding has not been secured. And I'd say not a ton of effort was put into securing it. And so it kind of sat. And in that time, I think people forgot, people left, new people moved in. And there was work being done throughout. But it was mostly kind of behind the scenes, purchasing land, doing a lot of engineering. And what really picked up a few years ago was property owners in the core area of Port Hadlock came to the commissioners, petitioned the commissioners to reopen this project. And in doing so, that really started again the planning process. There's some new technology, so we were able to rescope both the size of the project, make it smaller, and use a cheaper technology. So then we had kind of a new baseline to work from. And we were able to get that funded by the state legislature this year. So we got $20 million, over $20
million. Wow.
Yeah, it's a big deal. It's actually federal dollars coming from the federal relief package.
And that's not even, that's funding connected to COVID then.
It is. Yep. We're not sure if it came from CARES or from Rescue. It came from the feds to the state, and then the state distributes it.
Wow.
So
good things about COVID, you know?
Mm-hmm. Well, and it is part of why we got funded at such a high level is because the project was shovel ready.
Yeah.
They identified infrastructure as a high priority for those funds. And one of the benefits of a project sitting for a long time is that we've had time to get it to that shovel ready point. And we, in fact, just had the sewer facility plan approved by Department of Ecology in very recently, around the same time that the funding was received. So it truly is ready to go. But what's been interesting is just the amount of concern, opposition in some cases, questions that I think are a result of this kind of delay that that happened for the years that it was sitting. And so, we're definitely hearing that we need to be getting more information out to the public, to residents of Port Hadlock, as well as, other folks who live in the county who, I think we can expect there will be impacts to the county. But, my feeling is it's better to be intentional about where we put growth and development and density instead of letting it happen kind of haphazard. And without the sewer, making that urban growth area more dense, allowing that to happen, we end up with more sprawl because then all the development ends up happening, on the kind of 1 to 5 acre parcels instead of putting it in a dense urban center where you can do things like, have transit provide service more efficiently.
Let me ask you this. Is this phase one? This is phase one of the project that it looks like we're pretty much just around the corner from having funded. Does it actually put sewer into residential areas, or is it simply going into commercial zoning?
Yeah, so it is almost entirely commercial, except that, at this point, we're able to really identify who wants to be hooked up and who doesn't. So, for example, there are housing providers that would like to be able to build at greater density. Peninsula Housing Authority owns property. They would like to be able to build at greater density. So they want to be hooked up. So it's not going to serve much, if any, residential. There are a couple of mobile home parks that they're actually not required to hook up. We're not requiring anybody to hook up at this point, but they are specifically exempted from hooking up if they don't want to because they're such an important affordable housing type. So they will have an option as to whether they wish to hook up or not. We will see new residential developments because we know that there's a desire to build that in some of the parcels that would be served by the sewer one.
Absolutely. So you were talking about the opposition, and I know one of the main tenets of the opposition to it is concern for the cost to residential owners to hook into sewer when they've had septic systems for years. They're used to the costs. And I mean, if you have a well-functioning septic, it should only cost you a couple $100 every year to keep that septic running smoothly.
Right.
But it doesn't sound like, the opposition is more rooted than and correct me if I'm wrong, in the wider spread, the later phases of this project, rather than phase one, which would mostly affect commercial tenants.
Correct. Yeah. Yeah. No, there's no, and in fact, we're not required to or making plans to do any additional phase after phase one. But yes, you're right. There are a few residences. There are a number of residents who want to hook up to the sewer. And I'm sure for varying reasons, but we definitely heard from some of the dense neighborhoods in Irondale, Hadlock too, but that area between Hadlock and Irondale, they're not interested. And nobody's forcing it on them, even though I will say with this level of subsidy from the state and federal government, it will never be cheaper to hook up than it will be in this near term phase one.
And would you say there's bipartisan support for the Hadlock sewer, this phase one happening? Are you feeling that from your Republican counterparts?
Yeah. Yep. I would, and we get in trouble for that because then, you know, people assume that we're, you know, having our pockets lined by pro-development interests or something, which I can assure you I'm not having my pockets lined by anyone other than the taxpayers who pay my salary, for which I'm very grateful.
Yes. Well, and so that in itself, in this day of, great divide based on a lot of other policies, you know, being able to find agreement and commonality in the sewer, which is something that I've always found, you know, I should play my, Michael made me a great disclaimer, you know, my opinions are my own and not KPTZ's. But I've always found that the sewer is one point where, even if I am, you know, kind of disgusted or have serious problems with other, you know, county Republicans' viewpoints, where we can all come together has always been the sewer. We want to see the sewer happen in Hadlock. And, you know, of course, I'm interested in seeing more housing being created. And right now, Hadlock can't have that level of housing that it needs because there is no sewer system, but also the commercial units, like, you know, the Valley Tavern having to do how many bedroom septic? I mean, just a gigantic new septic out in a parking lot. It just doesn't make sense, and it doesn't encourage small business to succeed to have them be responsible for their own sewer systems. It just doesn't make any sense. Plus, then getting a loan is almost impossible.
Yep, and it's that you know, $20,000 or $30,000 minimum to put in a septic is a massive barrier, and then you end up with the density is quite impressive as it is in that area. That was pre-existing zoning before growth management, and so when you look at a map of the amount of area that is set aside there for drain fields and for reserve drain fields, it's enormous. So a lot of land that is kind of underutilized, but also, we know that only a certain percentage of those are being actively operated and maintained. And we have had significant water quality issues over the years, and they fluctuate with time, and they've gotten better recently since we started our mandatory operation and maintenance program for septic. But, you know, it is all critical shoreline there. And having that many septic systems and more going in, like at some point, that's just not great land use.
Right. Are you expecting any kind of bump in the funds from Biden's infrastructure plan, which is currently being negotiated in the in our federal government?
Yeah, we're hoping to. So we'd really like to get another $2 million to, again, make this as affordable as possible. We know that the cost of materials and labor are going up quickly. So we're have a good, healthy contingency built into that. Originally it's about $22.7 million. We've received 20.1. So another 2.5 would pretty much get us to that finish line. And, we're trying to scrape together that last little bit from the feds, and I think there's a lot of support for the project. People like putting the last bit of money in because then they get to, you know, claim credit for it.
Yeah, of course. So, Joe Biden, if you're listening, we could use your help, buddy. Thanks for beating Trump. Now we need a sewer system. He's listening. He is. Yeah, Biden loves me. I'm old Delaware boy. Just kidding. That was a lie. Sorry. Now he's not listening. He just turned it off. Well, so in your work with, obviously being a county commissioner, you have to work with folks who are in both the state legislature and the federal legislature. And, I mean, what kind of partnerships have you formed in terms of, you know, getting these funds, and, who's been helping you along those lines?
Yeah, it has been a ton of work, and it's been a major focus of mine for 4 years in this job. And ultimately, it was Representative Steve Therringer who really went to bat for us. It sure helps that he's the chair of the state capital budget. So, you know, he's able to advocate for this project. And it's interesting because all of our federal delegation, they are all very aware of the project and supportive of it and get it, but I don't know if they just have that many more constituents to look after or what. I do think understanding how growth management works and how challenging it is in counties like ours, how much a limitation that is, you know, so it's this chicken and egg issue where you have really low density and you can't get more density until you put in infrastructure, but infrastructure is so expensive. And how do you have low density pay for infrastructure? It does not pencil. Mm. And so you actually end up with sprawl.
Yeah.
What growth management was intended to prevent, you end up with as a result of infrastructure being so expensive. So I've spent the last 4 years just telling the legislature, if you want counties to comply with growth management, you have to fund infrastructure. And they seem to have finally gotten it this year. That's the gratifying thing.
That's such an interesting point. I hadn't thought about that, but this septic systems in themselves kind of force the growth management concept to fail. I never thought about it that way.
Yeah. No, it is. It's a real paradox that most people don't get, and most legislators are urban and have no idea how challenging it is to put in infrastructure in a rural area.
Well, let me ask you this. Say we get... you get that extra two and change million earmarked. What becomes the timeline for actually putting the sewer in, or, you know, is there still permitting to go through? What do you have a general sense of when the project could be underway or completed once you found the additional funding?
Yeah. So there is one more final design to be finished, completed, and submitted to Ecology for approval. That should be, our end of it should be done this summer. Hope to get it approved by Ecology this fall, and then hope to start construction next summer. And we will proceed at a fast clip, even if we're still scrambling for that $2.5 million, because the $20 million coming from the state and the feds has to be spent by the end of 2024. So we have a timeline enforced upon us that we're gonna have to meet, and we're not gonna pass up the opportunity to use all of that money. So we're gonna be starting, and you know, it's not a high risk number, especially given the amount of infrastructure dollars coming from the feds. We feel confident we'll be able to secure that.
That's just wild. And I mean, yeah, it makes me a little teary-eyed, because when I started learning about Jefferson County politics, everything, it seemed to me that the sewer could just be a pipe dream that stayed a pipe dream forever. But that is not the reality that we're looking at right now by any means.
Yeah. And you know, I know that brings up a lot of uneasy feelings for some people, and you know, we've definitely heard concerns about what kind of growth and development will occur there. And one of the best things that's come out of the opposition and public meetings, where we also get a lot of support, by the way, is just realizing that we need to do a sub-area plan. So that's going through another intentional public process to work with the community to identify what we want Port Hadlock to look like in the future. So I'm really glad that that we see the level of engagement we do on this, because hopefully that will get people to the table in a constructive way to say, okay, if we don't want big box retail, we have to put that in the sub-area plan. If we want sidewalks and bike lanes, we need to put that in the sub-area plan. Doesn't mean we'll have money to fund it anytime soon, but at least we start getting those ideas down on paper and having those conversations.
Well, we're talking to Kate Dean, County Commissioner from District 1, about the Port Hadlock sewer. Maybe we'll talk about some other things, but first we have a little musical interlude with a song that has nothing to do with politics, because we can just rinse out our mouths, our brains, from political conversation, like I pretty much have been doing since Biden won. It's like shameful. I don't read Twitter anymore. I don't read political Twitter. I still kind of read the newspaper, but I read like the other sections. And I know that it feel like slightly irresponsible, but I also realize that I just got out of a 4-year, abusive relationship with Donald Trump, among other things. And
But the song I picked.
What?
The song I picked is about abusive relationships. So it is a good segue. But also sometimes you just have to rock out to like relieve stress, right?
There you go. So you want to introduce the song for us, Kate?
Sure. So the song I picked is called Delilah, and it's by the Dresden Dolls. And I really love Amanda Palmer, who is one of the two in Dresden Dolls. And she's just a little bit younger than me, and I feel like she's an alter ego. Like if I had been a hip urban artist, I could have been her.
You could have been a living statue,
really.
Like Amanda Palmer.
Yeah, I know. Instead, I'm a politician. I fell really far from that tree, but I really just like rocking out to this song, and it was refreshing to pick something that didn't have a lot of other deep meaning for me.
Well, we're all about that here. Just pick the music that feels right. So this is Delilah by the Dresden Dolls on Filter, KPTZ 91.9 FM with Kate Dean. We'll be right back after this song.
Hi, this is Port Townsend City Manager John Morrow. Please join me and co-host Tim Quackenbush for Bureaucracy Now at its weekly time slot on Thursdays, just after noon, here on KPTZ. Tim and I will be talking about all things Port Townsend, and we'll be taking your questions. Join in the conversation about our rapidly evolving local world. Listen at 91.9 FM, stream online, or jump into the dialogue. Head to kptz.org for information on how to join.
Discovery Road host Tim Quackenbush here. Please do join John and me Thursdays from 12:10 to 12:40 p.m., right after the noon local news broadcast. Bureaucracy Now on KPTZ 91.9 FM and streaming at kptz.org.
Wow. Okay, before that promo, Kate brought us a song called Delilah by the Dresden Dolls, and I'd never heard that song before, and man, that is really powerful, Kate. Thank you so much for bringing it.
Oh, sure. Yeah, and I realize I said it isn't political, but of course,
everything is political. My puppetry professor taught me that. Everything's political.
I don't know what to say about that. I'm not sure how to answer that.
When I got my minor in puppetry, John Bell, the great John Bell, I should have him on here. He would be so much fun. He's like, you know, all art, you know, there's inescapable. Everything is political. And people try to say things aren't political. Invariably, like there is some way that it's provocative, or at least that it has to do with the school of ideas, opinions, and rules, following them or not following them, all these things that relate back to politics. But that doesn't mean to say that you chose it because it didn't directly relate to sewer systems, because it's not a song called Hadlock Sewer System by the Dresden Dolls. Although if the Dresden Dolls are listening, if you guys want to do a song called Hadlock Sewer, we would play it, you know, maybe you could come do it live. That would be great. What do you think, Kate?
Well, you know, Commissioner Greg Bretherton has been writing a lot of songs and performing them, so I don't see why a sewer song be off the table. I do wonder if, you know, like when I was a farmer, I used to get all these chicken-themed gifts, and I've wondered what kind of gifts I'm going to start getting for being the sewer commissioner.
Mm. Oh, man. Yeah, hey, maybe you don't want to know?
Right. Well, there is an irony in this project that I've devoted 4 years of my life to a project that hopefully you will never see or have to deal with, right? Like, you just hope that a sewer works, that you never have to interact with the byproducts of a sewer. And you just want it to be in the ground and not have to think about it.
I just realized
it's not like, you know, constructing beautiful sculptures or skyscrapers.
Right, right. Yeah, it's something you put your name. It's like John Oliver putting his name, or asking that small town in on the East Coast to put his name on a sewer plant. So I know what filter we'll be getting you. Definitely a gold plated, large metal turd. That will inscribe.
Or toilet plunger.
Plunger. Yeah, maybe a plunger would be better. Then you could actually use it. A gold plunger.
Right.
Gold leaf. It'll just be wrapped in gold leaf. This is brilliant. I'm brilliant. I should, yeah. But we don't have to keep talking about the sewer. We just have a few more minutes. And I wanted to get an update for you on the county administrator, former Phil Morley, has stepped down, and you guys are on the job hunt for a new county administrator. Can you give us a little sense of how the job search is going and what kind of interim, what's happening in the interim in terms of the county administrator's office?
Yeah, sure. So we were lucky to have our central services director has been functioning in something of a deputy county administrator position the last few years. He had been the county manager in Clark County for a number of years. So he was very experienced when he came to us, and he is serving as interim county administrator now, which is great. We're able to keep things operating pretty smoothly, even though, Philip, his departure was quick, and he just had such a depth of knowledge about everything having to do with running this county. So definitely gonna miss that experience. And it's so funny how, like, I have to learn this lesson over and over and over in every aspect of my life. Change is hard, and it's a great opportunity to grow and change. And so it's, we're really trying to embrace this as a time of opportunity. And where does the community want to head? Where do the commissioners want to go? And working closely with a lot of our senior management team at the county to decide, are we going to hire for exactly the same position, or do we want to make some changes? What are the qualities of the person we want to hire for? So it's a real iterative process, working with a small group right now of senior management in the county. Then we will open it up to get input from more and more county employees, and then we'll go to the community too.
Yeah.
And ask what do they want to see. So there will be an opportunity for input in that process as well. But we're hoping to hire pretty quickly. We're thinking a 3 or 4 month time horizon. And it's been really valuable process, having to stop and think, okay, what do we really want? It's so easy to default to what's familiar, instead to think, what's next?
Well, PT residents, kind of watched and participated in the search for what ended up being John Morrow as the new city manager, who we heard from on a promo earlier today. And I'm curious, are you guys going to imitate that process? And I mean, are there a ton of similarities between the two jobs that would say that, there should be the level of public input that I know there was in the case of hiring for the PT city manager? Or will this be more of an in-house decision?
There will be a public component, and I am not sure exactly what that's going to look like yet. The positions are a little bit different, and I won't go into total nerdville on, local politics, but the function of county commissioners are different. We have both legislative and executive function, and we choose to give some executive function to an administrator, whereas in the form of government our city has, they hire someone for all the executive function. And so it is a little bit different, but we certainly want the public to weigh in. We also have 350 employees in the county that we have to include in the process. So that's a pretty good cross-section to begin with.
Well,
It'll be similar, but yet to be seen.
And we can expect, it sounds like in the coming weeks, there will be the official job posting, hiring posting for that.
Yes. Yep. I would imagine early June that would be released.
All right. Well, thank you for all these great community politics updates, Kate Dean. Do you have anything that you want to get out to your constituents before we send you on your way?
Oh, gosh, so much to say, but mostly just continue to encourage folks to get involved. You know, we have all these committees and commissions that we always need more engagement on, and just encourage folks to look at the county website and see if any of them interest you. You know, we're coming out of COVID, and this is a time to think about change and growth, and that's the new administrator coming in. It feels like, you know, I just want to always trying to look for ways to revitalize government and keep our democracy strong. So please stay engaged.
Yes. Yeah. And I know there's a lot of folks doing work encouraging people to run for office. So, but you don't just have to run for office, right? You can join a committee too. So involvement is important. We want you to be the next Kate Dean.
Yeah, or something better.
Oh man. Well, hey,
I feel well aware of my imperfections, and people tell me them all the time in public comment.
Of course, you have to deal with that. Yeah, but you know, one of the qualities of being a great politician is to like hear that stuff and then to also be able to move past it. And I'm not sure I could do that, you know, like the way you do it. It's a powerful thing to witness. So good on you and keep it up, Kate.
Thank you, Paul. It's been a pleasure to chat with you as always.
All right. Well, we'll have you back again maybe we'll go do a live tour of the Hadlock Sewer.
Great idea. Bring your golden shovels.
I'll bring my golden shovel and I'll bring a mic. We'll get it all. I want to hear the pulverizer at work. Oh, I can't wait. All right, Kate. Well, have a great day.
I hope to talk to you before then.
Yes, me too. Yeah, we will. We will. We won't wait till then. All right,
you.
Kate Dean, everybody. Thank you so much.
Bye-bye.
Bye.